I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 125th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Connie Zhu. She was raised in Shanghai, China, then called Zhuhong, in a family of four, and came to the University of Southern Maine to study economics in 1988, which was seen as an unusual choice and a privilege at that time. She has since lived all over this country and in Taiwan, and now she and her husband are raising their family of four here in Maine, where their children attend the Portland Public Schools. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Connie.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's really an honor because there are certainly a lot of interesting people in the Chinese community in Southern Maine. Very talented, very accomplished, very, very interesting background. So thanks for having me. I feel like very undeserving. Well, partly maybe because I've been here for a long time. I've been in Maine for a long time, so not as new. I feel like almost like, you know, one of the first generation of Chinese immigrants.
Yes, 1988 was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, yes. Yeah. So
you went from living in the largest city in China, is it maybe the largest city in the world too, Shanghai, to the largest city in Maine. I wonder if you can tell us about your culture shock upon arriving here after being raised in a city that was then 11 million people and is now 24 million.
Yes, that definitely fooled me. You know, I knew Portland as the biggest city in Maine. So, you know, having kind of grown up in Shanghai and only having lived in Shanghai is the only place at that time. So I expected all cities to be like Shanghai. So when I came to Portland, Maine, I guess for the first few weeks, I just kept looking for the city. Like, where is the city? Even when people took me, you know, to downtown, you know, standing on Congress Street, I would still be asking the same question. Where is the city? Or what is happening? Is this a special day? Why is everybody hiding, you know, because I just expected
more shoulder
streets,
to shoulder,
absolutely, mm-hmm. to be, you know, thronged with people everywhere. So it was a little somewhat spooky, somewhat unsettling, kind of just losing your bearing, kind of. I was 19 back then, so really didn't know how to navigate the city of Portland. And what's funny is I went to New York City, you know, in my first summer. I was like, oh, okay, I can deal with this.
I found the city.
I know how to navigate this city, you know, but coming back to Portland, I'm always like, what? Where is the, you know, it's just very interesting, you know, when you're used to kind of one type of environment.
Yes.
Then you find, you know, but these days, I have to say, I love Portland very much. Like you just mentioned, I have lived, since Portland, I have lived in many other cities. I lived in San Francisco, New York, and I've been to, West Coast, East Coast, even Hawaii, everywhere. And I have really, it took me a while, but eventually I think I really have learned to appreciate the charm of Portland. And I'm very happy to call it home now for me and for my family.
When you go back to Shanghai, does it feel very busy now with this as a contrast?
Yes. It's interesting that how my friends in Shanghai often laugh at us, you know, people like me who have been living in America for a long time and then visiting home in Shanghai, they said they could always tell that you guys are, you know, just visiting from America because you look very nervous when you cross the streets. You know, when I was young, it was nothing, right? These days, we were all like, you know, not used to the kind of business in Shanghai. But I kind of expect Shanghai, Taipei, Beijing, you know, my family have lived all in all those cities now, to be like that, a huge city, a lot of traffic, a lot of people. What's interesting is that Portland has also been changing, you know, it's so different from 80s and 90s. And so I think now my family sometimes find it funny when I complain about the busy traffic in Portland. It's like, you know, you are from Shanghai.
All things relative.
Exactly, right. So it is interesting. Everything's changing.
So being a child in China in the 70s and 80s, what kinds of things were expected of you that are different from the way children are raised here today?
I think it's worth mentioning first that Shanghai, China has changed tremendously in the last 20, 30 years. So the China, the Shanghai I grew up in is different from now. So I can only speak about So in a sense, the expectations of children back then is somewhat different now from expectation of children now, because when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, China was relatively poor, material-wise. There was really no money, nothing. So, of course, the parents expect, especially in a city like Shanghai, they expect you to do very well in school. That was almost the only way that you can get ahead and succeed. So I feel like when I was growing up, the burden was quite high the burden of expectation was quite high, and the sense of responsibility for us children was very high as well, because you see your parents, your family often have to sacrifice to send you abroad to study, for you to go to college. But these days, material-wise, I mean, Shanghai is a very rich city now. I mean, overall, China has gone through kind of a huge economic boom. So I think I mentioned to you before, I mean, I came to this country to go to college literally with $75 in cash on me. You know, just kind of had to work on the campus and all that to support myself. But we heavily, people, not just me, but other students back then, heavily relied on financial aid and worked very hard. You know, we were very frugal because we couldn't expect anything from our family back then. But these days, certainly a lot of parents can afford to send their children to college, to high school. You know, there are a lot of high schools in Maine, yes, that are now accepting students from China, and they're all paying out-of-state tuition. And so it's quite different now, right? I mean, in a sense, there is not that urgency that you need to succeed. You need to make money to pay your parents back. I mean, I don't mean in literally dollar term, you know, but kind of just to thank them, yes, and for all the sacrifice they have made. So I certainly see that kids now are more better provided for. And of course, there's still expectation that you should do well. But the degree of urgency has changed, I feel.
Yeah. And I imagine schools have changed as they've tried to meet the needs of 24 million citizens.
Yes, of course. Shanghai is a very privileged city. The education system, I mean, Beijing and Shanghai were definitely two cities that have the most, they were the first cities, let's say, in the beginning of the 20th century to start elementary school, middle school, the modern kind of Western style education system. So both cities are very well developed in education. So I think for all kids in those cities, it's really very fortunate But the rest of China, it is certainly, the situation is not as uniform. There is a lot of fundraising campaign and a lot of push to help a lot of kids in remote areas to be even be able to go to school. So I often remind people, you know, when you ask me about China, you cannot just kind of expect one answer that fits all. But back to your question about education in Shanghai in the 70s and 80s compared to now, I think, yes, there is some major difference. Because back then in 70s and 80s, now I look back, I really appreciate one particular fact, that money really had nothing to do with education, which I really think should be the case for all children everywhere, you know. It was all public education. And I remember I went through some of the best schools, not because my parents had money. It was all by merit. And there is a very elaborate system of how to advance through the education system. So in a sense, children, no matter what background you're from, were given a chance to advance through that system without worrying about money, mm-hmm. without worrying about paying tuition. So I feel like I was very lucky back then that I could go to the best high school, best college, just, you know, by working hard. So when I first came to America, it was quite, I mean, quote unquote, educational experience for me to realize that actually money had quite a bit of a role in education in this country, because there are private schools and you do have need money to go to these high schools and colleges. There are different kinds of colleges. And certainly, if you have money, it may help you get to some colleges. So it was very interesting for me to learn about the education system in America. Of course, there are many wonderful things about it. But I always feel I kind of do wish that money has nothing to do with education.
Right. You want equal access.
Yes, of course. Kids shouldn't worry about money, but just, you know, that it's good for them to know that they can advance just by working hard. I think that is probably the most democratic thing we can do for children.
Yeah, very clear point. What was it like for your family when you came here to study? What were they expecting of you as their daughter, and what were you expecting as a student?
And I think my parents were expecting something very different from what I was expecting. I guess I always kind of had somewhat a curious and rebellious streak in me. So in a sense, I felt like I was out to see the world. I feel like I've always been somewhat impractical. Curiosity always, you know, gets the best of me. I was genuinely, I mean, it was 80s. China had just kind of opened up. And we just had access to, let's say, Western literature and philosophy. So, I mean, imagine for 20, 30 years, all those things were banned. So it was kind of like a cultural renaissance in the 80s in China. So I was kind of a child of that era. So I was, and like I said, China was relatively economically undeveloped at that point. So I was curious to see why America was so rich, why America was doing so well. So I studied economics. I thought I wanted to understand how the Western capitalist economy worked. But I was also always very interested in culture and literature. So I was really enjoyed, you know, studying philosophy and English literature in college. I really loved the setup of how unrigid the curriculum the system is in the West, because in Europe and in China, you kind of decide what your specialty is, what your major is very early. So I really thought it was great. Wow, you can just learn everything, anything.
Sample everything.
In American college, yeah. So yeah. I was, but I think for my parents, I think they're just, I think they're more... probably normal than I am in a sense that, you know, like many other parents, they want you basically to succeed as a student, to succeed as a professional, to have a good job. And so, you know, which is, I think, probably the same for
kind of
most families.
Yes,
yes, very universal. So... But I think we were talking about it that for new immigrants who might be listening to this show, and I'm sure for younger folks, their family are expecting the same of them, right? Finally, they got to come to America, and here is the opportunity. And so I would really like to just... Yes, we want to kind of live up to the expectation of our family. But on the other hand, America certainly has provided not just opportunity to make money, to get a good job. I'm very grateful to have a chance to live in this country that gives us more opportunity than just having a good job. I certainly have appreciated the freedom to do what you want. See, I'm very westernized, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I don't sound like Chinese anymore. But I think it's a great thing that this country has given immigrants. You can reinvent yourself. You can pursue what you truly love, what you feel passionate about. So, you know, sure, you should, you know, do well, succeed, you know, maximize your potential. But just also, you know, maybe give yourself a chance to really be yourself here in America. That's part of being an American, I think.
Great. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Connie Zhu, originally from Shanghai, China. She's a translator and interpreter who enjoys helping Maine businesses develop trade relationships with China. And if you are a regular listener to this station, you may also recognize her voice from Ba Yin Box, which is her radio show, which airs at 10:30 to noon on Mondays and explores all forms of Chinese music. Connie, your show Ba Yin Box went out on the air this past July. And I'm wondering if you could tell us what a Ba Yin Box is and about the inspiration for your show.
Sure. Thanks for asking me about my show. You have been. This is your 125th show. Woo-hoo! So you're like a veteran on WMPG, and I'm just kind of a novice. So I feel very lucky to have a Chinese music show on WMPG. I love the concept of community radio, so I'm very... And Chinese are certainly part of the Southern Maine community. So I just felt like, oh, why not some Chinese music on a community radio?
Give yourself a chance to express your inner self. And here you are doing just that.
Yes. So Ba Yin Box is, it means a music box in Chinese. Like that little wound up thing, right?
Sure.
Music box. But it's very interesting. They just, when they translated that word, they used actually a very ancient term. Ba Yin. Ba Yin means eight sounds. So the whole word means eight sound box. But eight sounds come from a very ancient classification of music in China. So Ba Yin means eight sounds. So in ancient China, most instruments were mostly made of silk, bamboo, wood, metal, clay, stone, leather, and gourd. So that's why the term Ba Yin. So over thousands, few thousands of years now. So ba yin kind of means all sounds mm-hmm. of music, right? Because instruments are not, instruments are not limited to those material anymore. So it means all sounds. So that's kind of what I want this show to be. I feel like there's certain expectation of what Chinese music is. I think most people are more familiar with the traditional music, style music, which is wonderful, which is beautiful. I will always be playing, you know, a variety of them. But I also feel like, well, music has evolved in China, especially these days. You're not only modern Chinese music is not only influenced by traditional Chinese music, folk music, but greatly influenced by Western music as well. So really, there is a large variety of music in China. And when we talk about Chinese music, it could also be by artists living outside mainland China, right? They could be from Taiwan, what used to be Hong Kong, now Hong Kong's part of China, but like Singapore, Malaysia. Also, a lot of Chinese artists now are based in U.S. and U.K., you know, or other countries. So it's really, you know, it's great. It's very interesting mix of music that's available these days. So that's the goal, kind of the show.
And it has so much diversity.
Such diversity.
1 week it'll be about meditative music.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, classical music.
Yes, and
voice.
Yes, for instrumental voice, folk style. Every now and then I play very rarely heard Chinese operatic music. So I think it could be very challenging to some listeners, but this is WMPG, right?
That's
so
right.
I certainly don't mind, you know, if people call in and question, like, is this music? Who is to say what is music, right? I mean, WMPG is the station which is trying to broaden everybody's definition of music, right? Challenges everybody's perception of what music is. So that's why I feel like home at WMPG. And I have to say that, I mean, thanks to all the people who call in or email me or even stop me on the street and, you know, and
what kind of feedback
and
are
ask
they
me
you?
If I was the, you know, DJ of Buying Box. Some of them are just, at the beginning especially, were just totally stunned, kind of like, what is this show, you know? Like they somehow just stumbled, you know, across the show when they were driving.
That's what I did.
It was great. People would be like, you know, I once got a call from somebody driving up from New York, you know. So he was like, oh, I was just at the Met, you know, looking at Chinese art, you know. Today I'm driving up. I'm listening to Chinese music from a main station, you know. Was so glad, you know, to have found the show on the radio. So mostly just very encouraging, very grateful. So I certainly feel like I've gradually found my footing here, and had also I invite community members to the show, and I think people might be surprised to find there are really a lot of people with connections to China. It's not hard to find at all, you know. So far I've had, you know, people on the show that they have done business in China, they have taught English in China. And also American Chinese, you know, who have been contributing to the community here. So there is a organization in Maine that's called Chinese and American Friendship Association of Maine that has been around for a long time. And has kind of helped build a bridge. It's not just for Chinese, you know, it's not Chinese community, but it's Chinese and American. So there are, so it has Chinese here and Americans and sometimes American families who have adopted Chinese children. So it's a really also a very diversified group.
Yeah, and so, it's been going for, what, 37 years?
Yes, I think
it's
it was
established.
Like 88, 80, 88 or 87, a long time. And again, it's great that because it's supported by not just Chinese here, but also Americans in the community. So yeah. I think that's why maybe that's a secret to its longevity.
And if people are interested in learning more about Chinese culture, there's a big event coming up. Chinese New Year this year starts on the 28th of January, but the celebration is going to be on February 4th. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect at the Westbrook Middle School for the Chinese New Year celebration?
There is always music and dance, and the dance program will be performed by the kids from the Chinese language school. The Chinese language school is affiliated with the Chinese and American Friendship Association, and that's always just a beautiful sight a very popular on the New Year's Day celebration. And there are a lot of demonstrations, usually, you know, calligraphy, arts and crafts, some games like mahjong and martial arts, and there's always tea available, not just for drinking, but also people can introduce different varieties of tea products.
This sounds so wonderful.
Yeah, and very fun for kids, especially, you know, it's a great opportunity.
I've put it on my personal calendar, and I will also hot link to the event on my website and this show's Facebook page for interested listeners who might like to come sample some of the culture and flavors of China.
Thank you. And it will be my first time, actually, also to do a music show, a presentation. There are other presentations as well. I'm not sure about the topics right now, but in the in previous years, I remember once going to, a talk on Chinese film, and was presented by a professor from Bowdoin College. So can I just mention something else also?
Yeah, yeah,
is
quick.
That CAFM also is now hosting lectures that are presented by professors from, you know, Bowdoin and Colby College on various
wonderful.
Topics. Yeah.
Will that be on the CAFM website
too? It
should
be always on the website. You can
Great.
Find that information.
Thank you for mentioning that. Again, it'll be hot linked on the site.
Thank you.
Connie, you are a grounded woman with an amazingly diverse set of skills, which you creatively apply to bring more communication, understanding, and beauty into this world. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for having me, and I hope you will have a chance to have some other Chinese community members.
Yes,
on the show
I sure
as well.
Appreciate your referrals. And thank you all for listening. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Connie Zhu. Would you be so kind as to introduce the last song that you've selected for closing today's program, Connie?
Yes, this is the music I used in a promo that I did for WMPG, so I thought you might have heard of it. It's by Jay Chow from Taiwan. It's called "青花瓷," Blue Flower Vase.
Thank you.
so easy.